Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, as it is draft week and it gets closer and closer to the first round of the NFL draft on Thursday, Lions season is in full effect. There's going to be rumors, there's going to be reports, there's going to be a lot of smoke and misdirection going on all week long. But a very interesting report and rumor trickled out on Monday about Raiders tight end Darren Waller being heavily pursued by the Green Bay Packers. We'll talk about the report plus other news and notes, and we'll hear from Peter Bukowski, host of Locked On Packers, to talk about the report and rumor from a Packers side of thing. It's all coming up on Tuesday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast for April 26, 2022.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Just Raiders. Win. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Just win. Your team Just every win. Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
And welcome in, Raider Nation, to another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Raiders podcast your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the show free and available on all platforms. And Raider Nation, let's just jump right into it. Lots of news and notes to get to. And the biggest piece of news that came out on Monday had to do with Raiders tight end Darren Waller. There was a report that came out from Aaron Nagler, who covers the Packers like a glove, saying that the Packers were in heavy pursuit of the Raiders tight end. Now, just because the Packers want the player doesn't mean that the team is going to give up the player. You know what I mean? They could want Darren Waller all they want. Doesn't mean that the Raiders are going to say, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Let's go ahead and do that. But now, this all comes from a report that happened when the Davante Adams trade went down, that the Packers did want a player in return, maybe even a couple players in return, but they were unnamed players. And so it sounds like Darren Waller ended up being that guy that they really wanted. But the thing is that they couldn't trade a player at the time. This is the report that was out. They couldn't trade a player at the time because Davante Adams hadn't signed his franchise tag. So the NFL actually poked in and said, hey, no, this is impossible. You can't do that. Now, there's all kind of reports that are out there. Some people say that the trade was not guaranteed, but they had already agreed on it. And then that's when the NFL had broke in and said that they can't do it. Others are just saying that it was a conversation piece. So who knows? Until we actually hear from both sides and someone confirms it, we probably won't know. But the fact of the matter is, it's a couple days before the NFL draft. There's going to be a lot of smoke. There's going to be a lot of misdirection. There's going to be a lot of lying right now for one reason or the other. I can't tell you what everyone's motivation is going to be, but the conversation is out there. And I know that Raider Nation is flipping out. And look, I'll say this off top, before knowing anything and who knows how it's all going to shake out, I've been very adamant that trading Darren Waller would be a bad decision. I know that he's got 2 years left on his deal. I know that he's very much underpaid, but try to get him to play this year under the contract with the understanding that he's going to get a contract extension. You know, that's what I believe. But who knows? I mean, again, this is the NFL. We know that sometimes tough decisions are made. You know that every player that is worth the money doesn't always get paid the money. So, you know, maybe this is a way that the Raiders decide, okay, we're going to move on from Waller. We're going to get some trade capital or some draft capital back in return. And we're going to go and draft a guy that we believe is going to be a long-term fit for the team. Not a guy who's 30, 31 years old and, you know, going to start to decline at some point. Because again, remember, coming from the Patriots, what did the Patriots so famously do? They get rid of a player a year or two before they're actually on the decline. They get rid of them a year early instead of holding on to them a year late. That's what we do know about the Patriots and their way of working. Not saying that that's what Dave Ziegler, Champ Kelly, and company are doing, but we do know that that's a possibility because the Patriots do that. Now, to add a little intrigue to this, the Raiders started their 3-day voluntary minicamp on Monday, and it looked like pretty much everybody was in attendance, including Darren Waller, including Derek Carr, Hunter Renfrow, Davante Adams, Chandler Jones, Mad Max Crosby. I believe he finally made his return. I don't think he was at the other minicamp that they had, the 3-day minicamp that they had a couple weeks ago on the 11th, but he was in return, and he had put out a tweet, something like, finally back with my brothers. So you saw him in a picture with Chandler Jones. Remember, all this is voluntary work, but it looked like everybody was there, you know. And then Derek Carr, he tweeted out, LOL, no chance. There was a tweet that said, from Pro Football Focus, the Packers and Raiders have engaged in trade talks regarding Darren Waller. Via Aaron Nagler, and Derek Carr quote tweeted that and said, LOL, no chance. John Simpson tweeted out the Omar Epps face, the one that shrugs, basically saying like, yeah, right, that's not going to happen. Now, again, I'm very adamant that I don't think Darren Waller should be moved. I think he's a dynamic piece of this offense, especially with Davante Adams, Hunter Renfrow, Derek Carr. I've said it multiple times that the Raiders have a 3-year window, and I think that you want to go in there with all your bullets in the chamber, and Darren Waller is a big-time bullet. He's a big-time weapon. There would be no reason, in my opinion, to move on from him. But again, you just don't know what this new regime is planning on doing, what they have planned for right now, the immediate future, and, of course, the long-term goals of the Silver and Black. So it's just something to pay attention to. I think that if there's going to be a move to be made, it's got to be made by Friday morning. If not, then I think that you can rest pretty easy, Raider Nation. But right now, it's something to pay attention to. Who knows if it's going to happen or not, but it's definitely something to pay attention to and something we'll get a little bit deeper dive into coming up in segment number 2 and 3 when I talk to Peter Bukowski, host of Locked On Packers. Now, also on Monday, Las Vegas became officially silver and black. The Welcome to Las Vegas sign was lit up on Monday by Raiders owner Mark Davis. And yes, it was lit up in the middle of the day, so you really couldn't see it. Look silver and black, but apparently that's something that they do all the time when they light up the sign, different colors. I think that that's a missed opportunity. I think if you're going to light up the sign, you do it at night when everyone can see it. But hey, again, this is something that's been going on in Las Vegas for quite a while. They do that a bunch, and I'm new to the area. You know, I haven't even been here yet a year, so if that's what they do, that's what they do. Apparently it was a big to-do. There was a lot of folks out there at the sign. JT the Brick actually emceed the event, so it was a big deal. Might have been hard to see, but it was a big deal. Also, there was a trade that happened on Monday. We've been talking a lot about trades, but it was not with the Raiders. It was not with the Packers. It was actually with the Patriots and the Texans. The Patriots traded a 2022 fifth-round pick to the Texans in exchange for a sixth- and seventh-round pick in the 2022 NFL draft. And at first, I was really scratching my head thinking, what in the world? Why would they do that? Why would they move back to the sixth- and seventh round? But everything I've been hearing, all the different people that I've been talking to about the NFL draft is, it's a deep draft. You know, it really is, where there's going to be some guys selected in the third round that probably should be going in the second round just because there's so many players. Think about this. I didn't realize it, but on my radio show on Monday on Unnecessary Roughness, Raider Nation Radio 920, the guy we had on talking about the draft mentioned how many people were involved in the draft. How many guys are eligible to be drafted on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? And it's over 1,000. Over 1,000 because there's two draft classes really being put together because of the COVID year. Everyone had an extra year of eligibility. They went back. So there's so many guys eligible for this draft that there's going to be a ton of talent. So not only does that mean that there's going to be a lot of late round talent, there's also going to be a lot of undrafted free agents that are going to be signed that are very talented dudes as well. So I think that that bodes well for a team like the Raiders who don't pick until round 3 as long as they stay pat where they are at number 86. So I think that that's a good sign that the Raiders can get some really talented dudes. And then even if they have to wait until the undrafted free agents until they start signing those guys, can probably get some quality guys there as well. Another fifth-year option was picked up on Monday. Nick Bosa of the 49ers, which is a no-brainer. He was a number 2 overall pick back in 2019. He got his picked up. Now, do you realize there's only been 3 fifth-year options so far picked up? Nick Bosa, which is a no-brainer, again, as I mentioned, number 2 overall. Quinnen Williams, in my opinion, a no-brainer. He was number 3 overall, picked up by the Jets. He was the guy that I was hoping the Raiders were going to get. They ended up with Clelin Ferrell at number 4, but I was really hoping they were going to get Quinnen Williams. And then Noah Fant, he's the only other one, and he's with Seattle now. Remember, he was a number 20 overall pick by Denver. So there's only been 3 that have been picked up so far. There's been 2 no's so far. The first one, tragic, Dwayne Haskins, who was picked 15 overall by Washington, recently was a Steeler, but more recently passed away after getting hit by a dump truck in Florida, which is terrible. Such a sad situation with Haskins. So, you know, I hate to bring football into it, but he was a no. You know, once he was released, then it didn't matter that that gets voided. And then also a no with DeAndre Baker, who was a number 30 overall pick by the Giants, who got into massive legal trouble, and the Giants released him. And just like I mentioned, the fifth-year option was null and void once they released him, and he eventually got signed by Kansas City. So those are the 2 no's. There's been 3 yeses. The rest of the first round is still to be determined, including with the Raiders, which have Clelin Ferrell at number 4, Josh Jacobs at number 24, and Jonathan Abram at 28. I mentioned it on Monday's show. I believe that 24 could get picked up, Josh Jacobs. I don't think Clelin Ferrell or Jonathan Abram gets their fifth-year options picked up. Final little nugget I have here for segment number 1 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, news and notes of the day. Amazon, who are becoming big players in this NFL thing, they want a Black Friday game. This is something that had been talked about back in, I believe, February, but Peter King, Monday Morning Quarterback, NBC Sports, he put out that NFL owners last month passed a resolution allowing the league to schedule 2 more teams for a second short week game that could lead to a Black Friday game as early as this season. But he also says it's certainly expected to lead to one by 2023 at the latest. And here's this, check this out. Amazon has made a huge bid for the game. According to Peter King, he said, I'm told it's between $70 million and $100 million for a Black Friday game. So for anyone who's like, no, that's too much football, don't need it on Thanksgiving, don't need it on Christmas, which I talked about on Monday, they're going to do that. Don't need a Black Friday game. Well, guess what? If they're going to pay between $70 million and $100 million for a Black Friday game, guess what they're going to get? They're going to get a Black Friday game. The NFL is showing that they're king. Amazon is trying to capitalize in a major way. They're becoming players. Matter of fact, I saw reports that Kay Adams from NFL Network's Good Morning Football, she's actually leaving NFL Network to go to Amazon. Now, that is not something that is official yet, but it's something that is being reported. And so I expect her probably right after the draft to announce that she's going to be leaving and headed to Amazon. So Amazon's spending some big-time bread. They're trying to become big-time players in this NFL world. And if they do that and get that Black Friday game for $70 million to $100 million, you know what that does? That just increases revenue. That's just more revenue. Talk about it all the time. These streaming services are one major reason why the salary cap continues to go up and up and up. Yeah, that's going to be a big one right there. Think about that. $70 million to $100 million for a Black Friday game. Not multiple games, one game on Black Friday. So that's all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segment number two, going to talk to Peter Bukowski, host of Locked On Packers, going to talk about this trade possibility, this rumor, this report that the Packers are heavily pursuing one Darren Waller. We'll see what Peter has to say. We'll do that coming up in segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Before I get to that, though, I do want to tell you about a couple great sponsors, including one that I use every single day, and it is AG1. It is made by Athletic Greens. It's something that I drink every single morning, and if I miss it, I just kind of feel weird about myself, right? It's just something, it's an easy routine to get into. It's going to help you with better gut health, more energy, optimize immune system. And instead of having to take a bunch of pills or a bunch of vitamins and all that other stuff that you really don't want to do, you can get a supplement that actually tastes really, really good. Again, this is AG1. There's a ton of people out there that take some kind of multivitamins and pills. Well, it's very important to choose one with high quality ingredients that your body will easily and actually absorb. AG1 is a small micro habit with big benefits. It's one thing you can do every single day to take care of yourself. The price, very reasonable. It costs you less than $3 a day. It's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. You're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. One scoop in a cup of water every single day, that's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you got to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/NFL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Now, I also wanted to tell you about BetOnline.net. It's your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. You can find out all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including the NBA playoffs. And I don't know if you saw the Nets, but they got swept. Boston gave them the 4-0 KO. You're out of there. Plus the start of the Major League Baseball season as well. You can check them out. BetOnline.net is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, live betting, playoffs, esports, and a whole lot more. Go to the website today on your laptop or your mobile device. Learn about the trends and all the action. BetOnline.net, that's where the game starts.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to get into my conversation, part one of my conversation with Peter Bukowski, a guy that I've talked to a whole lot this offseason from Locked On Packers. Does a fantastic job covering the cheeseheads like a glove, but we've had so many conversations. If it was about Davante Adams, Aaron Rodgers, now it's about Darren Waller. I mean, just so many conversations, but Peter does a great job, like I said, covering the Packers like a glove. So here's part one of the conversation. Myself, Peter Bukowski, talking all things Darren Waller and this possible trade rumor that's out there. Gentleman now on the phone line is really a man that needs no introduction because, well, I've been talking to him all offseason long. They're going to start thinking that there's something crazy going on between the two of us. But that's Peter Bukowski, host of Locked On Packers here on the Locked On Podcast Network, at Peter underscore Bukowski on Twitter. And Peter, man, we talked way more than we probably thought we were going to. Not that that's a bad thing because it's always a fun conversation, but we talked to Davante Adams, what it would take for the Raiders to get him. That eventually got done. Now, all of a sudden, we're talking about the possibility of Raiders tight end Darren Waller being traded to the Green Bay Packers. What are your thoughts on this report that came out a little bit earlier on Monday? I think Aaron Nagler kind of tweeted it out first, but what were your thoughts on what you were reading and what you were seeing and the possibility of Darren Waller in Green Bay?
You know, this has been one of those off seasons where I've just tried to be prepared for anything, and yet over and over again, I just get smacked in the face with these news bits, and I'm just like, what is happening? What is going on? How is this? And this is just the newest one. And if you go back to when the Davante Adams trade was made, there was this bizarre report, Q, of, and you, I'm sure you remember this, of, oh, the Packers and the Raiders were talking about a player, and then they realized they couldn't do that, which right. is just like one of the most amazing things. Where like literally the NFL told them, no, you can't do this. Davante Adams hasn't signed the franchise tender, so you can't include a player in the deal. And that was like, oh, okay, that's a weird thing. And so the Packers ultimately accepted a second round pick. They wanted a future first. And the Raiders said, how about a second? And the way that this thing works in the NFL, teams generally knock a round off for any year in the future that a draft pick is. So rather than giving up a future first, if you're the Raiders, it's a second now. And I'm sure the Packers would rather have the pick now than in the future. So it makes some sense there. But then there was some reporting at the time. And frankly, if I'm going to be honest with you, I dismissed it.
Right.
That Darren Waller was at least one of the players that was discussed, if not the player in question that was going to be included in the deal. And I was just like, wait, there's just no way that was the deal. And it sounds like that was in fact true. We now have secondary sources corroborating that Waller was the guy originally in this trade. And that is interesting on so many levels, right? Because the Packers got the second round pick. And so it does make you wonder, could this deal just get done if they just reverse engineer the trade? Like, here's 53 back. We'll take Darren Waller and call it a day. Or now is this leaking at this moment precisely because the Raiders are not interested in paying Darren Waller because he wants a new deal reportedly. And they just paid Davante Adams. They just paid Derek Carr. And so they're only going to pay one guy into his 30s, one pass catcher, top of market money. Do they want to try and get more than what that pick would have been? And maybe what ends up happening is the Packers are saying, we'll give you 59, which is the Packers pick. The Raiders are going, no, we want 53. And then another team is going to come in and offer something in an effort to try and squeeze more out of the Packers if that's what's happening. Like, there's so many more tentacles here that we can get into. This is wild.
Right. It really is. It really is. And, you know, the thing about it is, and we talked about it, is when Aaron Rodgers decided to return and get that big, massive deal, I didn't think there was any chance that Davante Adams was getting out of town just because, well, why are you going to get rid of your best pass catcher and then sign your quarterback to a big-time deal, at least for the big-time money? So could this be a guy that they look at, and Darren Waller, and say, now he's not Davante Adams. He's not going to really be that guy, but he's still a hell of a playmaker, and that would be a guy Aaron Rodgers would be comfortable with. How much do you think that would be something to appease Aaron Rodgers if they were to able to pull off a move for Waller?
Well, let me take it a step further. It's not just an appeasement. It would make this team so much better.
Right. That's
He's
true.
Just
true.
So much better than any pass catcher that they currently have on the roster. That it's not, I mean, you're right. It would make Aaron Rodgers feel better about, you know, Sammy Watkins is not moving the needle.
No.
Right? I mean, that's not the thing that's going to go, okay, Aaron, I feel great now, right? Like, that's just not going to happen. But if you added Darren Waller, the best tight end that Aaron Rodgers will have played with in his career, you go back to, there was a brief glimmer when JerMichael Finley was that guy, then he tore his ACL, and JerMichael Finley was on his way to becoming, I think, an all-pro caliber tight end, tore his ACL, and just athletically was never the same after that. For a guy that was, you know, 6'4", 6'5", 240 and could move, very similar skill set, very similar body type. And if you look at the tight ends last year who were lined up most wide, so that like X kind of receiver, Darren Waller was in the top five of guys and did it about 20% of the time.
Right.
Now, Davante Adams is going to do it a lot more than that. But this is an offense that has been predicated on scheming up tight ends because they have not had that elite level athlete. And we've seen Darren Waller can win his matchup one-on-one against any safety you want to put on him. Certainly any linebacker you want to put. It's curtains against the linebacker. Like, it's just not happening against the linebacker. And most safeties, he's too shifty for, he's too fast for, and most corners, he's too big for him. We're talking about a guy who's 6'5", a legit 250.
Right.
I mean, he is a big dude. And he's just going to box out corners. Like, if you put a corner on him on the outside, he's just going to box that guy out regardless of what kind of route we're running. So it's one of those things where I think this offense could use him in a number of different ways. And then what it allows you to do is when you have someone like that who opens up the middle of the field, and the Raiders did this. That's the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. There's the blueprint already. You add speed. So the Raiders go out and they get Henry Ruggs. Well, when Henry Ruggs was out there, and we don't have to get into the tragic situation that took away his NFL career. And let's be honest, he took away his NFL career with the decisions that he made.
Right.
But when you have Darren Waller out there in the middle of the field and you have Henry Ruggs stretching the field, and then you have a slot receiver like Hunter Renfrow, now the geometry of your offense fits pretty wonderfully. And if you're the Packers, you have two slot receivers. They drafted Amari Rodgers second round last year. They brought back Randall Cobb. If they were able to bring in Darren Waller, then what you can do is prioritize speed in the draft. And maybe they don't need to go first round receiver, but then in the second round, it's Christian Watson. It's George Pickens. If he falls, it's Alec Pierce. It's Tyquan Thornton. It's Velus Jones. I mean, this was the fastest receiver class of the last 10 years at the combine.
Right.
And so you have plenty of speed to go get. I think your offense would fit in a way that otherwise, you know, you're really struggling to make this all work.
So there was my conversation, at least part one of my conversation, with Peter Bukowski, host of Locked On Packers, talking all things Darren Waller and the Green Bay Packers and what it could mean for the Packers if they land him, what possibly they might give up. And so we're going to continue that conversation coming up in segment number three. Going to talk about when a trade needs to be in place, if there is going to be a trade put in place. And again, I say this thinking that nothing's going to happen, but there's a lot of times we think things aren't going to happen, and then they do. So I want to go ahead and talk to Peter and get as much info and intel as possible. So coming up in segment number three, we're going to have part two of my conversation with Peter Bukowski. Before we get to any of that, though, I do want to tell you about our good friends at rockautobot.com. Been talking about them for a very long time. They're a family business that's been serving auto part customers online for over 20 years. And what I love about rockauto.com is the fact that they're going to help you save a lot of money. You know, they're not a website that you go to and they're going to break the bank. They're going to, you know, make you pay an arm and a leg for parts. They're not going to do that. It's not like going to a car dealership where you're going to pay an arm and a leg, or go to some kind of outlets where they have car parts and you still have to pay a lot. RockAuto.com does not do that. They save you a whole lot of money on great quality parts, the same parts that you're going to get at that car dealership or from another location. So you can go to the website. It's very easy to navigate through. All you got to do is punch in the parts, what kind of car that you have, and all your options will come up. Boom, you order the part, it goes directly to your house. You never have to leave the comforts of your home. So it's real simple to use. It's cheaper than any other website that you're going to use. And as I mentioned before, they've been in business for a very long time, so you know that they're reliable. You know you can count on them. Again, rockauto.com. Check out the parts right now available for your car or truck. While you're there, there's a box that said, "How'd you hear about us?" Just write "Locked On Raiders Podcast." That's how they know that I sent you and I'm doing my job. Great selection, super low prices. All the parts your car is ever going to need is at rockauto.com.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation, segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to jump into part two of the conversation that I had with Peter Bukowski, talking all things this potential Darren Waller trade to the Green Bay Packers in their heavy pursuit of the Raiders tight end. Something I don't think is going to happen, but it's worth pursuing. It's worth talking about. It's something that you don't want to just close your eyes to and think that, oh, there's no chances that's going to happen. You want to at least do your due diligence on it. So Peter gave me a nice chunk of his time on Monday evening to talk all things about it. And here is part two of that conversation. Talking all things Darren Waller and the possibility of him going to the Packers right now with Peter Bukowski, host of Locked On Packers. And so, okay, so this is the thing. It's the draft week. It's the week of the draft, which we know is all Lions season. You know, there's a lot of smoke. There's a lot of misdirection going out there. So, gut feeling, how much do you think that the Packers could be in pursuit of Darren Waller, as far as how hard will they go after him? Or is this maybe just kind of a, let's try to pursue this again? You know what I mean? Like, how much do you think the reality is that they really want them?
I think there should be no question that they have interest, right?
Right.
The question is interest relative to cost. Mm-hmm. So has the price changed in a month and a half since that deal was done? Is this being leaked because the Raiders would really like someone? I mean, Andrew Brandt, who's a former executive for the Packers and does a lot of NFL media stuff now, he loves to do what he calls brandslations. And oftentimes when these reports get leaked, his brandslation is offer us more. And I think that that might be where we are. The Raiders are this is getting out there. And the reason it's out there is because Las Vegas wants someone to say, give us something more for Darren Waller.
Right.
And if you don't, we're going to trade him to Green Bay. And how many teams in the NFC are going, we really would rather you not do that. Can you please not do that? So here's a second round pick. We're a team like the Lions. Now they have TJ Hockenson, but I'm just trying to think of a team right. that might say, we need talent. We have picks. Here's something. Because we would rather you not give them to Green Bay. Plus, we'd rather have the guy. Darren Waller is a highly coveted player around the NFL. He is one of the, four tight ends in the league who actually matter in a real way. I mean, that might be a generous list.
Right.
It's Darren Waller, it's Travis Kelce, and George Kittle, and that really might be the whole list. Until further notice, Kyle Pitts is a receiver. Don't tell me he's a tight end. He's a receiver.
Right.
And so, if you're the Packers, absolutely, the question is going to be cost. And Brian Gutekunst, when he was hired, said, we are going to be in on every player. Every big time player that can come in and help our team, we're going to be in on it. It's why you always see their name connected to any player who's available, because Brian Gutekunst wants to know the price. He wants to know what's going on. And low key, he's a little bit of a wheeler and dealer. He's going to call. Oh, there's reports Debo Samuel is out. Okay. Goody's calling.
Right.
And he's been in on so many guys over the years that Packer fans are conditioned to think, the Packers are just never doing anything. And the reality is they're doing a lot. They're just not able to, always offer the best terms because, by the way, if you're a good team, you don't have a very good first round pick to offer. Like the Jets can offer 10. What are the Packers going to offer that is going to be appealing to you? Well, it's going to be hard. So I think the idea that they are very much in the market, and what I've been told is they are taking big swings. It's DK Metcalf, it's Keenan Allen, it's Darren Waller, it's superstar level players that Green Bay is interested in. Now, whether or not they're able to cross the finish line on saying we are willing to accept this price plus this contract plus this compensation, until I have actionable intel on that, I can't say with certainty.
Right.
But I do think that Green Bay is out there working the phones, trying to get this all figured out. Will it happen before the draft? I'm pretty dubious of that. I don't think we see a move before the draft. Brian Gutekunst said on Monday that their plan is to sort of wait until the draft is over. Does that mean that's actually what's going to happen if a move like this actually becomes available to them? That becomes a really interesting question.
Right. Well, and final question for you, as far as, when the trade could possibly happen, if it was going to happen, I mean, for the Raiders, they wouldn't want to trade Waller after the draft, right? I mean, he's not going to be valuable. No. He is valuable all the time. But I mean, the time to get the move is before the draft, so he can at least be, flip for a pick. At the very latest, I guess it'd be Friday morning would have to be when you trade him if you're going to give up a second round pick. Because I don't honestly think he's going to get a first round pick in return, but I could be wrong. So we'll see.
I don't think a first round pick is. I mean, I don't know. Could you get a first round pick for Travis Kelce right now? I don't know.
Right.
The going rate for. I mean, when we did our trade piece, right? I mean, you didn't offer me a first round pick for Devontae Adams.
No.
I think that the market is just not what we think it is for these receivers. Despite the fact that two of them have gotten top of market deals here this offseason. I think the Friday morning thing is kind of dead on. That was as you're asking me the question, that was the time frame that I had envisioned.
Right.
Let's say Jameson Williams, Drake London, Chris Olave, and I'm short one guy, Garrett Wilson, are off the board at 22, and Green Bay, and even let's add Treylon Burks in there.
Okay.
Green Bay has to make do. They make a pick or they trade back, whatever happens, and they leave the first round with at best a George Pickens or Christian Watson level player. That's when Friday morning they're calling the brain trust over in Vegas, and maybe they're going right to Mark Davis. Maybe that's the phone call rather than the new and what seems like the highly competent front office that they have in place in Las Vegas. And they're right. saying, we'll give you your pick back. Just like give us Darren Waller. We'll throw in a day three. They've got two fourth round picks. Maybe it ends up being here's an extra fourth. We'll take your fifth. It'll be a pick swap. We'll give you an added value from what you gave us. Everyone can save face. We get the all pro. You get the guy, you get the picks, and the guy you didn't want to pay, you get the value for that. And everyone goes their separate ways. You guys try and be a Super Bowl team. We try and be a Super Bowl team. And hopefully we'll see you in Phoenix. Then that starts to become a viable situation. I think if the Packers leave the first round and they move up and they get Jameson Williams, I think the call is the Raiders to say, yeah, we're good. Unless the price has gone down, in which case then I think a trade can be made. But I think Green Bay exits the first round. They see what they can do there because they do have those two picks now. And then it becomes, okay, Darren Waller, or is it a lesser pick? Is it Darius Slayton, who's apparently available with the Giants? Yeah. Is it Kadarius Toney? Is it Jalen Reagor, who the Packers liked coming out? This is something that I talked on my show today about. So it's a really interesting conversation. And I think I don't expect anything to happen between now and Thursday. But, I'll text you on Friday and I'll let you know, like, hey, this could go down. Because depending on what happens Thursday night.
Right. You could text me and say, hey, I'm going to need you to hop on. We got another conversation we need to have. Man, this is, I'm telling you, me and you got a great relationship this offseason. I'm telling you, man, we've had more convos than a little bit. So
the dynamic duo.
Right.
Back at it.
Exactly. I'm glad. Hey, it's good, though. It's good conversation. It's fun conversation. It makes for a hell of a draft, and it's been a hell of an offseason already. So good stuff as always, Peter. What do you got on your show? What do you got on Locked On Packers that folks should be on the lookout for? Because, hey, Raider fans are intrigued as well.
A whole lot of really good stuff. I think one thing that they could be interested in is on the show today, we did a for the Tuesday show, we did a discount receivers situation. So like of the top receivers, who are the discount guys? So Jameson Williams, if you don't get Jameson Williams, who's the guy you could get three rounds later that has a similar skill set? If you don't get Drake London, who's the guy a couple rounds later that could give you a similar skill set? Because look, Vegas could still be in the market for a secondary pass catcher,
right?
Especially if there's a Darren Waller trade, looming on the horizon. No reason not to, day two, day three. They don't have many day two picks now, but day three to go, hey, Romeo Doubs played up the street at Nevada. Like, let's go. Like, come in and give us something. By the way, that's 100% a name to keep an eye on. Love that guy.
And nice.
And would be a terrific fit opposite Devontae Adams from Nevada. So, that's what we got going on Locked On Packers. And be sure to check out the Locked On NFL Draft live show that we're doing. I'm hosting it. Croc, Ryan Tracy, it's going to be a great time. So come hang out with us.
There you go. That's what it is. Great stuff as always, my man. Well, I definitely appreciate you. And who knows? Who knows how quickly we'll be returning the call and all that? But it should be fun and interesting. So thank you so much for your time, my man.
Anytime, Q.
So there it is. There it was. Raider Nation Part 2 of my conversation with Peter Bukowski, host of Locked On Packers, talking about what a potential Darren Waller trade might look like, when it needs to be executed by, what it would mean to the Packers, just all kind of different scenarios that we threw out there, why the rumors and reports could be out there right now a couple days ahead of the draft. I mean, there's all kind of different things that we touched on right there. Good conversation with Peter Bukowski, as he's very thorough with his explanations and his answers to the questions, and I definitely appreciate that. A guy that I've talked to quite a bit this offseason, as there's been so much going on between the Packers and the Raiders, at least conversation, there has been a lot going on. So many thanks to Peter Bukowski for giving me a bunch of his time on Monday evening. So that's all I got for you for today's show, Raider Nation. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have more news and notes of the day. I expect to talk more things about the draft, not about rumors about Raider players being traded, but once that broke on Monday, it would be foolish to ignore that, so we're definitely not going to do that. Very excited about everything that's been going on here in Las Vegas in preparation for the draft. I'm going to be on again this morning with Bart Scott from Bart and Hahn on ESPN National Radio. We're going to do that 9 to noon Pacific Standard Time. It was a lot of fun on Monday. Going to do it again today. It'll be the final day that I have that show with Bart Scott. So many thanks to ESPN for giving me that opportunity as well. Appreciate anyone who tunes in and checks it out as well, because I know a lot of people did check it out on Monday. So thank you so much for that. Again, thank you for making the Locked On Raiders podcast your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the show free and available on all platforms. We'll get back to calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raiders podcast voicemail line on tomorrow's show. As I mentioned, more stuff about the draft in preparation for the first round on Thursday, and a whole lot lot more. Plenty to talk about as we do each and every day here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. So until then, Raider Nation, take care of yourself. Love on your family. Take care of your family. Most importantly, as always, just win, baby.